Welcome to the podcast, everyone. We're here for the launch of the Institute of Mental Health and the Centre for Human Brain Health here at the University of Birmingham. And I'm here with Professor Matthew Broome, Director of the Institute for Mental Health. Matthew, what's today all about?
Well, thanks for coming, Andre, and supporting our event. Today and tomorrow is, the formal launch of our two new institutes at the University of Birmingham, I guess, to celebrate what we've achieved over the last several months and what we're planning for the future. So we decided on a sort of strong joint programme, and we're delighted with our excellent keynote speakers who will hopefully showcase what's exciting about that interface, really, between neuroscience and mental health and inspire, you know, the research we're trying to achieve and also the patient benefit we want to deliver. We're also very excited about our early career researchers workshop tomorrow afternoon. So hopefully an exciting programme to stimulate both people, colleagues in Birmingham, but also wider across the country.
So for people that don't know, tell us about the Institute of Mental Health here in Birmingham.
So the Institute of Mental Health came into existence after my appointment in August in 2017, and since then we've been setting up our strategy, recruiting, etc., etc. And I guess what's exciting about it is, on one hand, the very close link we have to neuroscience, which is exemplified in this meeting with the Centre for Human Brain Health, the investment the university's made in imaging and appointments there, but also our wider interdisciplinary work with both clinicians, but also social policy, philosophy and ethics, service user research, etc. So I guess what's distinctive about us is that strong connection on both sides, really, with basic neuroscience, but also with wider field of mental health. I guess the other feature that is our focus on youth mental health, which I think is very important and timely, given current concerns.
So give us a picture of the kind of work that you're doing in youth mental health here in Birmingham.
Big variety. I guess one project I'm leading at the moment is around developing interventions for bullying in schools in Birmingham, which is, you know, very delighted. We've got Louise coming to talk about that topic. My colleague Rachel Up the Grove is leading some important work around inflammation in psychosis. Again, that's linked with colleagues in Cambridge. I'm delighted we've got Ed to come and talk about the wider context of inflammation and depression and mental illness. We have a strong interest, historically, as people know, in early intervention in psychosis. So a lot of colleagues are interested in taking those insights and applying it to other areas of mental health problems, whether it's bipolar or mood disorders, etc. A lot of work around policy development, and particularly colleagues are looking at how the government's green paper on improving school-based mental health is being implemented and measured. So yeah, a variety of work actually, from, as I say, neuroscience to very applied social policy.
And I guess everyone in the public will know about the issues of youth mental health, because you can't get away from it. It's all over the papers every day. Increasing rates of prevalence were being reported, poor access to services being reported. How do you kind of prioritise what you're working on to try and come up with some solutions, I guess, for young people?
One of the things we have done, which I'm very proud of, and they're here today, is have a very active youth advisory group. So a lot of their input governs our research strategy, our appointments, our grant applications, etc. So we try and take seriously their concerns and worries and make sure we reflect those adequately. So I think that's an important key principle. I think also we need to make sure we don't oversimplify the problem and make sure we try and take it to its complexity and draw on all the academic and clinical resources we have in Birmingham to try and think about that. And I guess work very closely with those who can make practical change, which for us is, you know, NHS, third sector, social care, to make sure it's not just ivory tower research. We wanted to make people's lives better. And when we published the Mental Health Policy Commission, I think that was last year, summer 2018, Paul Burston and I went round and met several MPs, and most of them said the same thing as you've just said, actually, about a constituent who had to wait X months for care or had to travel a long way, and that's across the country, across the political spectrum. So those stories are there, they're real, and they're affecting lots of families.
An intervention for bullying in schools sounds really interesting. Tell us more about that.
So that was an interesting partnership, actually. So we're very fortunate that the youth mental health services are managed by Birmingham Women's and Children's Hospital, which is unusual. So obviously they're maternity, obstetrics, paediatric hospital primarily, but also deal with youth mental health. So we developed a joint collaboration with one of their public health consultants. I guess being a public health doctor, he's very keen to think about a preventative, universal strategy. And one of the areas we thought had some of the best evidence was looking at whole school bullying interventions, and specifically the Kiva intervention. And we've also teamed up with colleagues in Bangor, who are leading a multi-site national trial into this area. So we're starting out with a pilot study looking at schools in Birmingham to see if these materials are usable in the West Midlands, step one. Beginning a kind of mixed methods descriptive study of the extent of bullying in Birmingham, and then joining forces with this wider study about a randomised controlled trial of the intervention in schools. So, you know, hopefully we'll be delivering that intervention to, I think, coming up to 9,000 school children across the city, which, you know, if the data translates from Finland to the UK, means we'll have a marked impact on young people's mental health going forward.
Sounds great. So Mark Brown and I are taking this event beyond the room. We've got about 200 people here in the room in Birmingham, but we're also going to have a big audience online. Tell us a bit about what we're going to expect in terms of speakers and different sessions over the next couple of days.
So we've got half day today and a full day tomorrow. So today we start with our official opening by our Vice-Chancellor, Professor Sir David Eastwood, and then we segue very nicely into Louise Arsenault, who I'm delighted to have here as a friend and also, I guess, one of the key international experts on bullying. So it's very important for me to have her here. She's important to my own research. So Louise will speak. We'll then have Ed Bulmer can speak about inflammation and depression. Again, Ed was a consultant back when I was a trainee at the Maudsley, one of the leaders in neuroimaging, which I got into in the early 2000s. So it'll be delighted to have him talking about a very important area of mental health, about inflammation and depression. One of the things as a clinician, you're kind of aware how little movement there's been in our treatments. To think about new modalities for treatment intervention, I think is crucially important. So, and then after those two keynotes, we have a Q&A. Which the directors of various centres will join the keynote speakers. And Jen Cook, who is one of the senior lecturers in the school, will kind of chair that. So that'll be an exciting day one, and then a bit of a social event this evening. And then tomorrow we start off again with an opening from Ola Jensen, who's the director of the Centre for Human Brain Health, welcoming colleagues. And then we have, I guess, four keynotes and a ECR session. So we open with Sarah Jane Blakemore, which is great. Again, an old friend from back in the early imaging days. So Sarah Jane is talking about a crucial issue for all of us here around the social brain, its development in adolescence. So again, we're very keen to get speakers who demonstrated the importance of that interface between neuroscience and mental health. I think Sarah Jane is a fantastic exemplar of that. And then after a break, we have Heidi Johansenberg from Oxford. So Heidi is director of the Wellcome Centre for Integrative Neuroimaging and was FIMRI previously. So Heidi's going to talk about that and how to manage clinically relevant neuroimaging research and its relevance to mental health research. That'll be fantastic. We break to having then four parallel sessions, three of which early career researchers, and one of which I think could be very exciting is our youth advisory group. So Mark can hear exactly about how they've impacted our strategy and research. And I guess what we've tried to do is make sure we have a representative, diverse group of young people. So hopefully that will be exemplified in that session, as well as a good session around mental health, some of our colleagues, our postdoc and PhD students. Then after the ECR workshop, we have two further keynotes from Sylvain Bailey from McGill, talking about predictive machinery in the brain, and then S.E. Vidding finally on the day, looking about developmental psychopathology. And we close at the end for our final social event. So I think it'll be an exciting couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really pleased to be here with
program.
Us.
Really looking forward to hearing everybody. The hashtag is launch, IMHCHBH. And thanks a lot for talking to me, Matthew.
Thank you, Andre. Good to see you.